I have some experience in life. Most books I have seen on marriage, written by, you know, very popular in the world, they are stupid books. What did I call them? They are stupid books. They are very stupid books. And you see the people who write them and read them, the divorce level there has not improved at all. They've been writing these books and reading them for years. Marital breakdown is only increasing. It doesn't work. So, if I see any book on marriage, if I check the person's qualification, as a PhD in psychology, your PhD in psychology can't help me. It can't. It can't. If the Bible says that it is better to dwell in the corner of a wilderness, in the corner of a roof, or in the wilderness, than under a roof with a contentious wife, no psychology can change that. So you had better take the matter of contention in your wife and pray about it. All the psychological maneuverings, just by the way, it just after a while, you know what they do? They tell the man, hand over control to the woman, she will stop complaining. Then he hands over control, then she stops complaining, but she has become the Satan lord of the house. Because once you turn the thing upside down, it's a satanic stronghold that you are dealing with. So the next generation is worse than the previous one. Why? They are fighting the devil in his area. As Christians, we don't do that too. We go to his area, that is God's arena, and we fight from that angle. So they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, do this. He said, it is written, that shall not be done. It is written, this one, no man should do that. It is written, I must not do this. And that's the end of the story. The law of release. Let me get back there. Grace. Grace is that we are fighting with God's power. We are triumphing by God's power. Now let's read our text scripture. I've said many, many things. I pray that it will help us to understand this. You know, sometimes when you say many of these things, the rest of it, the main point, just enters sure, like that. 1 John chapter 1. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with the Father, with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, please, I need to explain that as we go on. The blood of Jesus does what? Cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, the law of confession today is a confession of sin we are talking about. You know, we said there are laws of confession. So today I'm talking about the confession of sin. I've talked about the confession of the word of God. Now we're talking about confession of sin. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me just stop there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me just start with this, all right? Ed Cole, you know, good enough. I didn't realize I was going to quote him today, but there's a story he told. I mentioned it in my book, Should I Say Yes? He talked about the circumcised marriage. What I want to talk about that briefly is the instantaneous results he got, because I mentioned something about psychology of marriage and all of that, that people with PhD in psychology try to teach us. But Ed Cole talked about a man and a woman that came to see him. He was in a hurry, number one. All right? Their marriage was frozen. Let me just put it like that. From day one, it was frozen. No romance in it. They were not enjoying it, but they were very nice to each other. They were nice people to each other, very friendly. But they knew that this is not love. This is not marriage. So they came to see Ed Cole. This is a summary of it. I told a bit of the story in the book, Shall I Say Yes? The man said he didn't have time to be hearing who said what to whom, by when, on what occasion, or like they say in CNN, who did what, where, when, and why, you know? He doesn't even know. He just said, look, listen, what are we going to do? We are going to put away the old out of this marriage, and we're going to bring in the new. I know how they did it. They just knelt down there. He prayed for them there and then. He led them in some confession of sin and the word of God. At the end of the day, he packed his bag, and their marriage was healed. It took just a few minutes of praying, not of psychological reasoning. Listen, you know, I've said many things. One, how we think. If we say something is good, let's make sure it is because the word of God says it is good. If it is bad, it is bad. There's no reasoning it away. You understand what I'm saying? Now, he said, if we confess our sins, let me talk about confession again. Confession is not bad feeling. Many people, remorse and confession are two different things. Most people who are remorseful, they are remorseful that they were caught. Some of them don't realize it. The truth is that what is, the issue is with them is that everybody has now seen it. For Christians, sometimes God uses that to ignite true repentance. Confession, let me tell you what confession of sin simply means. Of course, confession talks about uttering words, but I want to say something before that. Confession simply starts from agreeing. What did I say? Agreeing. That is, it is not how I feel. It is that I know, I have been told and persuaded that it is wrong. I feel good about it. In fact, I'm not even feeling bad that that's what I've been doing. But now I have been told it is wrong. Period. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Confession, look, all this one of, oh God, is because somebody found you. Are you getting my point? I hope I won't sound vulgar. Please, wait. If you are married, you are properly married, you'll still be embarrassed if somebody jumps into your bedroom, you and your wife, you are naked on the bed and you are doing things that children shouldn't do. I don't know if you will laugh. Don't laugh. Only single boys can laugh. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you be embarrassed? Is it a bad thing? Feeling is different. That is a perfect illustration. It's a very, look, Mr. Pastor, why is it that kind of thing now? But that's the only way I can explain this thing. Yes, because no matter how bad you feel about it, at the end of the day, the person goes, how can I go better? I can't get away from there. It's just embarrassment. You understand my point? There's no sense of this is bad. Many people, all right, that's what is doing them when they are doing what is bad. They come to church. Why? They've caught me. They will soon sack me. We're trying to collect money. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. I want to collect money and arrange money. And, now they have caught us. This, the whole totality of the embarrassment. Pastor will hear, I'm a deacon. I will be put on suspension. He will start questioning all the tithes I've been paying, where I get it from. Now I'm going to lose my position. Oh, my children. Oh, they announce their father is a thief. Those are the things that's worrying the man. And that's why if you remove from Nigeria, carry him to America, he will start again. He has not been persuaded that whether I'm found out or not, this is evil. Evil is evil. Listen, it's not how I feel. Therefore, you can be reading a book. Let me give you an example. Very simple, very good illustration to tell you that it's not how I feel. I just feel like emphasizing that. Once, I think I've used this illustration before. Anyway, but perfect. Where I work, all right, one of my senior colleagues, he became visually impaired over time. You understand? I don't know why it's glaucoma or a pituitary tumor, whatever it is, but he became visually impaired. So he doesn't see. He's legally blind. You understand? Now, sometimes, maybe we're doing something. Do you understand? And some of, like a kind of conspiracy. Maybe say, don't let this man hear, so that he will not disagree because he's a senior person and he can be firm and, and insist on having his way. In fact, he had an exam stopped once because he disagreed with how I was doing it. You understand? That kind of person. So what we'll just do is that we'll now talk, with codes and all of that. You don't utter any word. Since he can't see you, he does not know. And I didn't think anything of it. And if he's coming and I'm not in a talking mood, I'll just walk past nicely, so he won't see me. Then one day I was reading a scripture. I can't remember it now. And he says, okay, yes, he said, that shall not cause the deaf. God gave the children of Israel a commandment, never curse a deaf man. A man who can hear, abusing papa, that's your problem. God didn't have an issue with that. But if he's deaf, it's a sin. I went back to work to one of my colleagues who's a Christian also. I said, see what I read though. I said, this thing that we do is wrong. So we'll be in a meeting those days. Somebody now say, are you calling me? That is, person is giving me a sign. I will shout loud. What? You want me for something? If I'm walking, all right, and it's approaching, and it's an area where a normal seeing person will have noticed I was coming, I will greet. Good afternoon, sir. It's Dr. Lucina. Oh, Lucina, how are you? Fine, sir.
I will go over there. Why? Because one day I read a scripture. It said you must never curse a deaf man. There was no, oh God, oh Father, have mercy. What is it that I've been cursing a deaf man? Yeah. May I not go deaf too?
It's not necessary. It's a simple thing you have found out. I just agreed and said this is bad. Simple. And if you read through the scriptures, you find that that's what God says. If somebody has a disadvantage in an area, make sure you don't take advantage of it. For example, you have money, he's poor. So two of you fight, you pay police. You will die early. You hear what I said? You want to die early. He doesn't know people. You know the governor. You take his land. Your children will never prosper on that property. In fact, build a house there. It's good. It's a good tomb for you. You understand? Because you enter one day, it will collapse on top of you. No, you see, if it was your mate, two of you fought and you won that land, God won't say anything. No. But because you took advantage of the fact that he did not have that advantage, you know what I'm saying? That is, he disadvantaged in that area. That's why God said, if somebody is a stranger, you treat him kindly. Listen, there are communities that God wiped out because of the way they treat strangers. The Amalekites, they were like that. They love to prey on the weak, and God wiped them out totally. There was no remnant. It's like that. Look, God has some precepts. God has some precepts. Anyway, let's not even talk about them in detail. The point is that, so it's not about how I feel. It is I just learn the truth, and I simply say, this is out of order. I make bold to say this. Any homosexual in Europe or America who reads the scriptures and says this is abomination, we'll get to the law of release in a moment, and he does the law of release, he will discover that that spirit will run. It's not every spirit you need to cast out. Say, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit. There are times you do that, but most of the times they disappear when light enters. I've read enough to know that prostitution is a spirit. The first time she does it is temptation. When it becomes a habit, she's possessed and a spirit has built a stronghold in her. It's not so difficult to break if you can get her to agree that it's not a result of poverty. All this online is poverty. It's a fat lie. Poverty should make you beg, not sleep around. That's what poverty should make you beg. The only one I agree that can be from poverty is in a begging. Even that one self, you get limit. Call the Rahab. If Rahab would just agree, not feel bad, not, I've ruined my life, I've ruined my life. Look, all that cry, you know, in fact, I believe, you know, most of the people are crying. God will say, shh, 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 weep not, keep quiet, let's talk. All the crying and shouting. Read the scriptures. Most of the people who cry a lot and shout a lot and react a lot, they wither, they don't come to fruit. Go and read it. Go and read it. Emotional reaction is a sign, all right, of fleshly contact. The spirit has not been touched. How do I know? He said the ones that left and they rejoiced when the word came, they were the ones that did not have deepness of earth. Most of who the thing enters them, they are knocked out. You, as a preacher, you know, one of the first things you will learn when you are preaching is not to just believe people you are looking at. What do I mean, people you are looking at? It's as you are sitting like this. Some of the most boring people that you see, they are the most attentive. You know, preachers want people who shout, preacher, Most of those people are not hearing you. Listen. I have sat in a church before. One girl was sitting right near me like this. I don't think my ears are duller than average. You know what I'm saying? What I couldn't hear, she could not hear. And if you know how long I've been listening to preachers, you will know that I'm better at hearing preachers than she. In fact, I've been listening to preachers longer than some people have been alive. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? My mother used to wonder, this is when I'm listening to Kenny Hagin. He said, Banky, you are telling me you can hear what this man is saying. I mean, I couldn't understand why nobody couldn't hear. I mean, the man was speaking to me in local language. Yeah, anyway, the point I'm making is that
I was sitting there and listening and trying to get what somebody in front was saying. The speakers were not good. This guy was doing hoo hoo hoo. I said, it's a lie. You are not hearing anything. I still remember. Look. This guy. I don't talk to them, but I just look and say, don't fool me, my friend. This place where you and I are sitting, we can't hear anything. I mean, sometimes people look. But let me tell you this one, make you laugh. I was watching a comedy show one day on TV. A comedian was now cracking a joke about comedy. You understand? He was cracking a joke about comedy shows. He said, some people will come for this kind of show now. He will crack a joke. They will laugh, tap their neighbor. Wait till you talk. Wait till you talk. And it's very common. They laugh because everybody's laughing. So it's just all this emotional response. It doesn't mean anything. As a preacher, some people who are being blessed the most, is at the seat from beginning to the end. You want to ask your wife after, did you see that statue over there? He said, which one? Is it still there? He said, statue must still be there. Good, it has gone home. Then that means not a statue if you can go home. There are people like that. In the same manner. Now, if I understand it, you can be sure that God double understands it. Go and read Ahab. Ahab will repent and cry. He not go repent. Every time David spoke up and said, Saul, why are you doing me like this? Saul will say, what I'm doing is wickedness. Let's go home. Next day, if he can't David again, he will begin shooting. I hope you have what I'm saying. So that's why God said, only, listen, don't cry. Don't lament. Don't say, woe is me. He said, only acknowledge your iniquity. Oh! I need to read that scripture. I love it so much. Because he used the word, he said, only acknowledge. That is, we are not talking any other thing. Just acknowledge. Jeremiah chapter 3, yes. The law of release. If you read from verse, let me just start from verse 12. It says, go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return faithless Israel, declares the Lord, and I will look upon you, I will not look upon you in anger, for I am gracious, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. What is this in verse 13? Let's read it again. Acknowledge your iniquity. He said, only acknowledge. You know what it means to acknowledge? That's what confession is. To just say, it's wrong. I did it, it's wrong.
He's now, see how I've ruined my life. As a young woman like me, I've been doing prostitution for the last 5 years. My whole life is ruined.
That cry does not work. Listen, I'm not saying crying is forbidden. That's it. So, I'm just saying it's not a sign of anything. It's only a sign of bad feeling. It's not a sign of repentance. It's just a sign of what? Bad feeling. Sometimes, after watching movies, people feel bad. They feel good. Like my wife was saying that she likes films. No, was she saying that she likes films that with a happy ending? I always know when a film has a happy ending because I'm very impatient with films in my house. After watching small, but if they do things that annoy me, I just get down to my wife, I'm going inside. She said, don't mind themselves, but she'll be watching it. I always know how the film ended. You know how? I just watch my wife's mood when she comes inside. If I'm sleeping and somebody gives me a hug, husband, are you sleeping? I know that film ended well. You know what I'm saying? If I just come and feeling very bad, just know they have killed the actor in the film. So all those crying, whining, it doesn't mean anything. We get those feelings from films also. In the midst of the crying, in the midst of the whining, the issue is, do we acknowledge? And this acknowledging is an intellectual. When it's intellectual, it's a reasoning matter. It's not an emotional matter. It is a reasoning matter. That's why I gave that example earlier of when I read where he said, do not curse the deaf. You understand? It wasn't about, you see, all my life I've been causing devil people. No. It's more of, oh boy, is that what the scripture says? No, this is out of order. And that's it. And that's what begets that confession. I said, start with what you agree with. And what is the confession now? He said, only acknowledge. You just say it. And listen, this is how bad habits, this is how sin, this is how satanic strongholds are broken from the lives of believers. It's simple acknowledgement. Listen, confession from, that is, with that is, I just agree and I confess. That confession of sin just means simply to say, I have sinned. What I have done is bad and I should not do it. That's all it means. You know, I have found out two things I'm going to say, all right? That I found out. I found out the major problems in life for Christians are two things. There are two things. One, insincerity. And two, making excuses. What I mean by insincerity? If a man loves money, why can't he just agree that he loves money? Then he starts explaining. This money is for the preaching of the gospel. That's what I call what? Insincerity. Listen, two of them are very close to each other. They're very, very close. When I say making excuses is this, let me explain what I'm saying. In fact, one example I like to give all the time, there's one young woman that I knew, a Christian, had one very bad habit. And periodically, in fact, once you interact with her for a short while, you will learn that this girl's habit in this area is foul. And if you, of course, so you won't have any choice but to point out that why do you behave like this? And her excuse all the time is, it's just a reflection of where I come from, the way my parents are. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Let me give another example now. Maybe you see a man who's grabby. You know, say grabby. Very grabby. That is, if there are 10, assuming you have, you put gala on the table now. There are 5 rolls there. And there are 3 of you. The guy don't quickly grab 2. Knowing that somebody will get 1, but it must not be him. Are you getting my point? There are 5 and we are 3. And you first grab 2. When you're not saying, why are you like this? He said, you know, I come from a polygamous home. And you have to fight for yourself if you're from that kind of home. Once he repeats that 3 times, that guy is, well, don't let me use the word hopeless. But he will be entrenched in that thing for a very long time. That's what I mean by making excuses. He agrees with you. But he keeps on explaining away the behavior. God said, don't explain to me how you got here. Who's saying that this one should be born blind? I don't want to know. Who's saying that I should be grabby? My father married 7 wives. Uh-huh. So my life now must be, you know, it's now circulating around how I was raised. I keep on saying, please, if you have not read it, go and read my book, Choices, Key to Destiny. If you don't have a copy in a short while, it will be on our website for easy download. That's if it's not there right now, self. This is a point I'm making. Everybody came from somewhere. I used to make a joke those days. You know, when we entered University of Benin, some boys will come. You know, children. Their own is they want to know whether you went to King's College. You know, King's College was the top school those days in Nigeria. All right? But these days, they're all private schools. So the boys went to King's College. The girls went to Queen's. Then after that, some who came from Federal Government College, they now start looking for those of us who didn't go to any of these schools. And these used to make me laugh. These people are very foolish. With all this, your King's College, whatever college you went to, I beat you in jump. I'm 4 years younger than you. We're in the same class. What's all your problem? Then, of course, what matters is, we're in medical school. Mo, do the exam. Mo, they go now. I remember one King's College boy. He now crossed year 3. The rest of us finished the school. Last time I saw him was in our 3rd year. Anyway, the gist is this. I used to look at all of them. I saw you with your King's College and they name all kinds of names. Where are all of us now? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. We're in the same class. What if I look, you know, when we're young those days, you know, our father used to take us to go and buy ice cream, you know, in Montreal, Canada. Where are you now? This same class. And I'm beating you, you've forgotten. The last test you failed, I passed. What is your problem with? Are you getting honest? I used to make a joke of what's wrong with people. All of us came from somewhere. You are a product initially of where you came from. But after what we call the age of accountability, God does not care where you came from. He holds you responsible for your sins. And you know why he does that? He wouldn't have done that except that he provided a way of escape. So your judgment now is that you did not take the way of escape that he provided. That's what I wrote in that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. Yes, I mean, if your father was a mafia don, you will learn to shoot people. I hope you know that. If your mother was what they call, you know what they call madam those days? Madam, girls, women that had girls, used to do prostitution for them. And you're a girl, forget. By the time you're 18, you're one of them. No, even if your mother tried to keep you away, it's a spirit, it will jump inside you. You can't help it. You can't help it. You can't help it. It's not your fault. And we agree it's not your fault. When it becomes your fault, it's when you hear a gospel. And God says, listen, only acknowledge your iniquity. I keep on telling story. You know, when we were young that time, what kinds of men used to come to our house? You tell that story 3 times. God will just punish you neat the way he punished everybody else. He said, why? Now, you know, Americans now go to court. He was abused as a child. He said, come to Africa. When you carry firewood on your head, that which, you know, if Americans sell granite on the road, if you shoot somebody at the age of 60, they say he was abused as a child. That the son, when he's selling granite, come to Enugu. When you buy opa, who do you buy it from? When you buy, what do you call it, garden egg, you buy pure water, who do you buy it from? And the other one, which one is the other, you know, which one do you buy regularly? The Lord is good. They will be telling the stories. A 40-year-old man will go and shoot people. They say he was abused as a child. 40-year-old man is a serial polygamist. It was because his father divorced his mother when he was 6. That is, the whole world should be upside down now because problem there everywhere. But God doesn't listen to that. You know why? Because he always gives everybody an opportunity to change. And at that opportunity, all he's saying, just acknowledge your iniquity. Listen, if a Christian kneels down and says, God, this is what I have been doing and it is wrong. It's not about,
have mercy on me.
No. The mercy, if you want to cry. If you know, sometimes we need it to make us feel happy. You understand? Say, yesterday I cried unto the Lord, praise God. I cried my heart out unto the Lord. Amen. God said, yes, I agree, I was there. Fine. Now that you have cried your heart out unto the Lord, what did you say in the midst of the crying? I acknowledged my iniquity. And I said that if I have done iniquity, I will not do it anymore. If we say, that's what is called the law of release. The Bible says he's faithful and just. 2 things he does. To forgive, and then he cleanses us. You know, I heard Pastor Chris Okoti say something once. I went for a wedding. One of our house officers was wedding. Went to the church. And he analyzed the blood. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all iniquity. I had never heard it like that before then and since then. He said something which I never forgot. In fact, I remember the example he gave. He said, that word iniquity describes like a tendency to sin. He gave an example. You know that, I don't know about whether you know in this part of the country, but in the West, the joke they crack is that then the Jebu man is very stingy. So if you ask somebody for something, doesn't give, you say, Ijebu. You understand what I'm saying? Even if he's not from Ijebu land. Once you ask person for something, not give, his there he goes, Ijebu. So it's supposed to be like what they are known for. That was the example he gave that day. He said that is the iniquity of the Ijebu man. And that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all iniquity. What am I trying to explain here? That is, if we confess our sins, even that, let's take that homosexuality that they are fighting over all over the world that is natural. God says, I will show you that it's not natural. You will get up from there, you fall in love with the opposite sex instantly. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses. Are you getting my point? That is the law of release. Listen to me. In fact, because of time, please, I have to stop. But this is what I'm going to make. He said, if we say we have no sin, I don't have time to read now in details, but we read it together. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, if we say we have no sin and all of that, this is the point he's trying to make. The closer you walk with God, the longer you have walk with God, the more you discover that is iniquity in your life.
I don't know what I get what I'm saying. There are things you are okay with now. I'm not complaining. You are not complaining. This interesting part, even God is not complaining yet. I gave us an example. We used to talk behind the back because the old man used to give us trouble. We're not trying to be wicked. The man could be difficult. So, but we know he couldn't see us. So we just generally speak in codes. So someone would just pinch you. I remember when I wanted to see someone, and once he pinch you like that, you straighten up. After all, you go outside and say, what was it? They tell you. Are you getting my point? As you walk in the light, one day, what is this? The word of God. That is a light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I was reading the scripture, and that scripture simply pointed another light to me. Suddenly I realized I was walking in what? In sin. It wasn't sin until I read that scripture. Sure, you understand that. So that's why John said, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. The truth is that the more you walk with God, the more you discover the areas of your life that needs you to be cleansed. And listen, this is a law of release. Don't forget, we are going for the perfect image of Christ. God, every day you are here today, you have heard something. Tomorrow you buy a book, you will hear something. Listen, you know, recently I told you, if we were around on Saturday, I read Derek Prince say, I had no ambition. Do you know, I laid down, I started thinking of all my ambitions. And I realized to be ambitious is ungodly. I did not realize it like that until Derek Prince explained it. That he read an advertisement of a Christian program. They think, come, prophetic view into your destiny and all of that. He said it felt to him like prostitution. He felt like he needed a bath after reading the magazine. I looked and said, what are you talking about here? Then, you know, I heard myself preach the one what we are hearing right now on Dream FM. I said, listen, all God is saying in life is know me. I said, Pastor Bank, even you preached it and you have forgotten. But I started having understanding of some issues my wife and I had, you know, there are some plans we had before, just kept on breaking down. Said, God said, it's ambition. You know, until that, who understood that? I thought it was a perfect thing. The man said, no, I had no ambition. None. He said, so you mean you didn't have a sense? He said, I had a sense of destiny. That my destiny is to be like Christ Jesus. That all I wanted in life was to know him and know him better. And that the future will unfold itself on a daily basis. Whew. Are you getting my point? I started dropping things in my mind. It's as we walk with him in light. And it's not about struggle. Say, Lord, no. It's not good. Imagine, I'm not going to have ambition again. It's simple. Just appoint. Check the place where you have been struggling with your strength. I must get here. I must become this. I must become that. I must become this. Just look at it and say, Lord, your servant said this is ambition. This is not pursuing the knowledge of Christ. I repent of everything that's not pursuing the knowledge of Christ. I have been following after my own ambition. It's acknowledge you. You know what he will do? He will close doors. He will close some doors. Yeah, the door will close so hard. You will know that one has been shut permanently. That's called grace. Oh, I think we'll pick up from here. I look at my watch. I think we should close. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just pray. We've talked about the law of release. Let me just give you a minute or two. Just pray in your own words. And then I just share grace and we'll go home. God is not saying feel bad. Sometimes some people refuse to repent. You know the reason? The bad feeling. Maybe next time I will talk more about this cleansing, this forgiveness of sin in light of this. Is a law of release. These are the laws of confessions. We are talking about the confession of sin. Things are spiritually handled. They are spiritually handled. It's not by struggle. Bad habits will die. Bad habits will die on the spot. Just if we just acknowledge that this is bad. God is not saying put in some struggle to stop it. He said no. Just agree and say to me in prayer. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. Maybe next time we'll read it. That which I see not, teach thou me. Let me just hope I pick up from that. This issue of walking in the light and having understanding. These are the things, that's the law. Those are part of the laws of confessions. Let me put it, next time we'll talk about the law of illumination. The law of illumination. It works both ways, into confession of sin and confession of the word of God. It's as you understand that you begin to talk. It's as you understand, you begin to agree. It's understanding. It's a law of illumination. We'll talk about it further next time. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks.
In Jesus' mighty name.